Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Judy. Thankful for those who are willing to use their talents, their gifts, all that God has been pleased to give to us for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm very blessed to have a congregation of people that I can belong to who do just that, not just in the way of singing or playing the piano, but in all the helps that they labor in love for Christ's glory and for His people to keep this little church family going, cleaning around the church buildings and things of that nature. So we give praise and thanks to our God for the way He moves in the hearts of His people to accomplish what He eternally purposed for the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you turn with me to the 11th chapter of Hebrews? We're going through the book of Hebrews in a verse-by-verse study. And we started this 11th chapter several weeks ago. And we're down to verses 8, 9, and 10. I want to read that in your hearing. Abraham has been the subject of our last two messages, and he will be the topic of some of our future messages, the Lord willing. This morning, however, Isaac, Abraham's promised son, will be the topic for our message. So let me read these three verses, verses 8, 9, and 10 of Hebrews 11, which says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now I brought before you in our previous messages that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were heirs of the same promise. God promised them the land of Canaan. But they were also heirs and joint heirs with Christ. That precious, wonderful gospel truth should never be lost sight of. God's chosen blood-bought children are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So these three men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were promised to God the Father, or promised to the Lord Jesus Christ by God the Father, before this world was ever created. If we believe the Word of God, you cannot deny that. That blessed truth will be part of this morning's message, and I trust the Lord will impress upon us this very important truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have the most sure evidence of our saving faith that God can give to anybody, and that's His Word. His written Word. His living Word, Christ our Savior. Now I brought before you in our previous messages that these three men who are recorded for our learning, they typify every believer in every generation. So as we look at Isaac this morning, he typifies every child of God. These truths that I brought before you concerning Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who were strangers, even in the land of Canaan, their promised land, they had their eye of faith set on things above. They knew they were pilgrims and sojourners. They knew they were just passing through this land. They knew this world was not their home. They looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, which has foundations. And I brought last week how these foundations are God's immutable decrees. His promises, those things that God Himself decreed will come to pass at His own appointed times. And these promises of God are ours. And we need to embrace them and appropriate them into our whole being, that we might give God all the praise and all the glory for who He is and what He has done for us. Now I want to take you down to verses 17, 18, and 19 of this 11th chapter of Hebrews. We read in those verses, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Now we're going to look at most of that in our future studies. But I want to draw your attention to this part of verse 18, which says, "Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." I am well aware that Abraham's promised biological seed came from Isaac. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. From Jacob came 12 sons. God had changed Jacob's name to Israel. Those 12 sons became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Now the land of Canaan was called Israel and still is this day. But when we talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, we're talking about the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 sons of Israel. Now if you will, turn over back in your Bible to the book of Romans, the 9th chapter. And let me establish a truth that cannot be denied concerning the spiritual meaning of these words, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. I've titled this message, "If Ye Be Christ." If ye be Christ. Now the words we just read in Hebrews 11, 18 is, "Isaac shall thy seed be called." Spiritually speaking, this has reference to the children of God who were promised to Jesus Christ by God the Father way back before a star ever twinkled in the sky, before time began. Isaac, the son God promised Abraham, like I said earlier, typifies all of those who are brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ to experience the miracle of the new birth. Those whom God Himself calls. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. God calls His children out of darkness with an holy calling, with a personal calling. Under the preaching of His gospel, we must hear the gospel. God has ordained the gospel as the instrument He uses to deliver His people from the bondage that we're in. From the bondage to Satan, bondage to sin, bondage to darkness. Our Lord said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And we're held captive by this darkness, by the power of the god of this world, which is Satan, and by our own sins. We're bound by the cords of iniquity. We're so held captive to that we don't even want free. In our unregenerate state, in our ungodliness, we love that darkness we're in. And if God does not come to us in saving grace, revealing Jesus Christ and His gospel to us, we'll go through life like the majority of the people in this world and die in our sins and go right into eternal torment. Jesus Christ is our deliverer. That's His name. We're not set free by our own decision for Jesus. Now I'm telling you the truth. Man does not have a free will. I know the majority of today's preachers are teaching that, but they're wrong. They're wrong because the Bible says they're wrong. And I mentioned Friday night during our Bible study, God has been pleased to entrust this little body of believers with His gospel. And we dare not compromise His gospel. We cannot do that. I know people say, well, can't you just calm it down a little bit? Can't you just make it a little more palatable to people so you can sneak up on them to give them the truth? What are we going to do? Drive them to another hell? There's only one hell. And it's the truth that sets God's peoples free. He says that.
Amen.
So, if you're with me here in Romans chapter 9, let me start reading at verse 1 and take you down through verse 11. And I just want to read right through these because I have a lot on my plate and we have a lot of scripture to look at. But Paul, writing to the church at Rome by divine inspiration, starting at verse 1 of chapter 9, says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He grieved in his heart over unsaved Israelites who turned their back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was right there. He was one of them. He was a proud Pharisee. And he thought that he was gaining favor with God by his attempt to keep the law of Moses. But God stopped him in his tracks and showed him that everything that he had in his religious zeal was nothing but cow manure. And that's what he called it, dung. And God saved him by the divine revelation of Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus Christ and he said, when I saw that light, which was brighter than the noonday sun, I could not see for the glory of that light. Yes. He saw Jesus Christ. He heard the voice of Jesus Christ. And the very first words he heard from one of God's ordained preachers was this: the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know His will, and see that just one, and hear the voice of His mouth. And from that day on, Paul was one of those ministers who was so zealous for the glory of Jesus Christ that he suffered persecution, hatred, was stoned, left for dead, was in prison, all of this for preaching a glorious gospel that he himself once hated and despised. So he knows what these Jews are going through. He knows they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So he could wish himself accursed. That boggles my mind. Yes. Accursed from Christ for his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now he would not have said that if he believed that all of the Jews were going to be saved. And that's taught in many religious circles today, because they're God's chosen people. The nation Israel was chosen to typify God's church. We're spiritual Israel. So Paul knew that unless they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they were going to eternal torment. Read on. Talking about his kinsmen, he says in verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises unto those people. The nation Israel, God committed his oracles, all of his commandments, all of the types and shadows that picture Jesus Christ, all of the animal sacrifices, the holy temple, the innermost sanctuary, which was called a Shekinah glory. That's where the high priest met with God once every year with the blood of an animal. That was the Day of Atonement. All of these things were given to national Israel, not to the Gentiles, to national Israel. And the majority of them spit in God's face and said, we don't want that. They despised that. They hated that. They did not see Christ in all of those shadows and those types. And the majority of them went right to eternal torment when they died. So Paul is saying, these Israelites, these things were committed unto them. He says in verse 5, whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now he's quick to tell his hearers who are reading these inspired words that the Israelites produced the fathers that those unbelieving Jews had such a respect for. But they didn't know Christ. They didn't know him. And he says in this fifth verse that Christ Jesus is over all. He's Lord of all. God blessed forever. Amen. Then he says in verse 6, and this is what I want to draw your attention to, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not Israel which are of Israel. Just because those unbelieving Jews turned their back on God, and we have them with us today, just because they turned a deaf ear to the truths of the gospel, that does not in any way do anything to thwart God's purpose. God is sovereign. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Nobody can stop God from doing what he has purposed. So Paul goes on to say, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Now catch this. This is what we read in our text in Hebrews 11. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. He's talking about God's children, the spiritual seed. Read on. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise. And that's what we're talking about. God's promise. The children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. God promised a son to Abraham. And at his own appointed time, according to the time of life, he came and Sarah conceived. And she was 90 years old when she conceived. Humanly speaking, it was virtually impossible for her to get pregnant. But with God, all things are possible. So God fulfilled his promise, showing Abraham and Sarah and all who have faith to believe that salvation is of the Lord. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And we read in verses 10 and 11, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now I've paused purposely. Grab a hold of these last few words, because this is just as much as God's holy word as Romans or John 3:16 or any of those other scriptures that the Arminians misuse. That the purpose of God, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now go over with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll continue in this glorious, wonderful, God-honoring truth, the promised children that God the Father promised his Son, Jesus Christ, back in old eternity. Now this spiritual truth, like I said earlier, concerning Isaac, typifies every child of God who is delivered out of darkness under the preaching of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So this term, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, has reference to God's promised children from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Not just the Jews, but all of God's chosen people. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. There's only one blood-bought church. There's only one body of believers. And Jesus Christ is the head of that church. And like I said a moment ago, we must be called by God himself. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, is the one who is building his church. He said so. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We labor in vain if we're trying to build a church. It's God who's building it. But he's building his church under the preaching of his gospel. The preaching of the truths that give our great, majestic, triune God all the praise and all the glory. Every enlightened child of God who has received this personal, inward, efficacious, holy calling from God himself, Every child of God who hears the voice of Jesus Christ speaking to the new heart that God gives us will give God all the glory. We will not pat ourselves on the back saying, I'm so thankful that I was wise enough to exercise my free will. Are you with me in Galatians chapter 3? Starting at verse 26, we read that all of us are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus. Now, faith is not the sinner's gift to God. I know that's contrary to popular belief. But faith is God's gift to the sinner.
Amen.
By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest man should boast. So God must give us faith. And he does that to his promised children. Read on. Verse 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And here's the title of my message. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Hallelujah.
If ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When God made that promise to Abraham, he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He didn't say seeds as of many, but one, which is Christ Jesus. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at verse 28 of chapter 4 of Galatians. It says, and I just love this, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. You believe that?
Yeah.
Well, think about Isaac. Will you please think about Isaac? What did he contribute to his physical birth? What did he contribute to his spiritual birth? Zero. Absolutely nothing. He was a child of promise. And like I said earlier, humanly speaking, it was virtually impossible for Sarah to have Isaac.
Yes.
But with God, all things are possible. And listen to me. Will you listen to me? In our unregenerate state, while we're walking in darkness, we're just as helpless and hopeless as any corpse that has been buried in a cemetery. We can't do anything to get ourselves out of that lost condition. We can't. People are talking about Jesus and how he wants to save you, and if you would just please give him a chance. That Jesus doesn't even exist.
Right.
And until these faith healers can go down to the morgue and start laying their hands on the dead and raising them to physical life, I won't believe a word they're saying. And we were just as dead spiritually as any corpse that has been buried who died physically. God alone can give life. And we need life. Turn with me, if you will, to Titus chapter 1. Let me give you 3 points to consider on this subject, if ye be Christ. And I'll hurry. I'll try to bring this to a close. But listen to these 3 points. If ye be Christ, you are a promised child for Christ's sake.
Hallelujah.
If you be Christ, you are a purchased child for Christ's sake. If you be Christ, you are a protected and produced child for Christ's sake. Now Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. I want that faith, don't you?
Yeah.
I want the faith of Abraham. Well, why can't we have it? It's the same faith. There's only one faith. Paul was fully persuaded that absolutely nothing, and he lists a lot of things there in Romans chapter 8, absolutely nothing could separate him or any of God's children from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want that faith. Well, God gives that. Now, as a babe in Christ, we're weak in the faith. But it only takes the faith of a grain of mustard seed to save us. But we need to grow in faith. Faith grows. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so this faith increases as God gives us more and more understanding as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we need to be fully persuaded. And that's my desire for you, to embrace Jesus Christ and to be fully persuaded that what He has promised, He is able also to perform. To be fully persuaded that we're in Him and we're as sure of heaven as if we're already there, if I might quote Pastor Henry Mahan. Brethren, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can take one of God's chosen blood-bought children away from Him. Nothing. We have the assurance from God Himself that we have eternal life if our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ as He is set forth on the pages of Holy Scripture. So first of all, if ye be Christ, you are a promised child for Christ's sake. Look at Titus, if you will, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We read Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of who? Of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Well, who did He make that promise to? Who did God make that promise to? I wasn't there. You weren't there. God the Father made a promise to His Son that, conditional upon what He would do when He came to this earth, He would give eternal life to all those that He represented. He promised that. He promised a people to His Son. This world of professing Christians, they know nothing about the eternal covenant of grace. You know why? Their pastors don't know anything about the eternal covenant of grace. And even when they read the truth in the Scriptures, they dare not teach those truths, because that will ruin what they believe. That will ruin their belief in universal redemption, and it needs to be ruined. That will ruin their belief that God loves everybody. It needs to be ruined. That will ruin their belief that it's man's free will that brings him to Christ, not God's sovereign purpose and power. And that needs to be ruined. We need to step on their toes. We need to stand firm and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And God is a covenant God, and He has a covenant people, and He's the one who gives eternal life to His covenant people based upon what His Son did while He walked on this earth. Jesus Christ paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We were there with Brother Steve in his morning devotional, but I want to look at some scripture past what our brother read in our hearing. Our second point is, if ye be Christ, you are a purchased child for Christ's sake. If ye be Christ, you are a purchased child for Christ's sake. Brethren, God's elect are a purchased possession. We're not our own. God bought us with a price. What was that price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Adam, we lost everything. When He fell, we fell in Him, and we lost it all. In Christ, we have everything. Outside of Christ, we hate God. We hate His Son, Jesus Christ. We hate His gospel. We hate His people. But the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, under the preaching of His glorious gospel. And when God reveals His love to His people, And there's no greater display of God's love that was displayed at Calvary 2,000 years ago when he sent his son to suffer and bleed and die in our room and in our stead. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So this price that had to be paid was the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed. We had to be redeemed. Because of our sins, God's not going to forgive anybody just to say, I forgive you. He forgives us for Christ's sake.
Amen.
The word redeemed means to rescue from or to buy back. And he purchased us with his own blood. Our Lord Jesus redeemed us with his own blood. He rescued us from that lost condition. We just didn't know anything about it until we heard the gospel. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 if you're there. Verses 18 through 20. The word of God says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Folks, listen. I'm not making this up. This is God's word. He didn't try to redeem us. Our Lord Jesus didn't try to redeem us. He redeemed us.
Amen.
He purchased us. Now, I don't know about you. I think I do. When I make this statement, I think it applies to you as well. If I pay for something, I want it. Don't you? Well, there's a lot of con artists in this world. And I've been conned out of some of my money. And I can't do anything about it. But you're not going to con Jesus Christ. When he paid the price for a particular people, he's going to have them, and nobody's going to stop him. Nobody. That's what I said earlier. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he's building his church under divine revelation of revealing himself and his gospel to his people. That's why he asked Peter and the other disciples, whom do the men of this world say that I am? And they gave the name of John the Baptist and some other prophets. He said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Lord Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So it's under the preaching of the gospel by divine revelation that we understand that the price has been paid in full for all of our sins. All of them. Past, present, and future. They were all laid on Jesus Christ. God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he, being made sin for us, suffered the eternal wrath of God as our substitute. And God, for Christ's sake, pardons all of those for whom Christ died. A full pardon from God himself. Does that bless you?
Yes.
Not one thing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. Not one thing. Not one thing. It's all taken care of. It's a done deal. My sins are gone as far as the east is from the west, and God remembers them against me no more. The gospel is good news to a sinner. And we're thankful. We're thankful that Jesus Christ redeemed us with his own precious blood. The Apostle John, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and I'll bring this to a close. Our third point is, if you be Christ, you are protected and you are a protected and produced child for Christ's sake. And this is the work of God the Holy Spirit in taking the things of Christ and revealing them to us. Now, I started to just use this third point or title it this way, if you be Christ, you are a produced child for Christ's sake. But folks, listen. And Russ Davis and I were talking about this just a week ago. The term prevenient grace. Have you ever heard that term? Prevenient grace. It's grace going before grace. When we came into this world, God had His eye of love upon us from old eternity. And we had to hear the gospel. We had to be given faith to embrace Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit protects His people right up to and including the time when we have Christ revealed to us. We couldn't die. There was no way we could die before we heard the gospel and before that was made effectual in our hearts by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And I came close to death a few times before the Lord revealed Himself and His gospel to me. But I couldn't have died. I couldn't. God's protecting hand was up on me. And His protecting hand is upon all of His chosen people. We come into a living union with Jesus Christ, embracing Him under the preaching of His gospel. Now His protecting hand is upon us after that as well. But there is an appointed time of our departure, so this body has to die. It has to go back to the dust from whence it came. But our Lord Jesus tells His people, if we believe in Him, He said, ye shall never die. Do you believe that? Well, I believe that. Absence from the body is present with the Lord. But this term, if you be Christ, you are a protected and produced child for Christ's sake. And so, God Himself, God the Holy Spirit, is the one who produces by His power these chosen blood-bought children, bringing them into this living union with Jesus Christ, giving us faith to believe on Him. This is the work of God. This is nothing to do with sinful man. Nothing. Just like Isaac, we had nothing to do with our physical birth. We had nothing to do with our spiritual birth. This is the work of God that you believe on Him in whom He has sent. So if you're with me in Ephesians chapter 1, listen to this. Starting at verse 11, it tells us that in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. I didn't write this. I know the people have come to this church who have left, and they tell others, don't go to that church there and rescue. That preacher down there believes in predestination. Well, that's a gospel word. That's a word that's found in the Bible. We were predestinated by God Himself according to His purpose, the purpose of Him who worketh not some things, but all things after the counsel of His own will. We've been predestinated under the adoption of sons. We've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I like that. We're all going to be like Him one of these days when we enter into glory. Well, read on. Verse 12 says that God has done this that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. All of this is for the glory of God. Now, who first trusted in Christ? God the Father. God the Father gave all of that pertaining to His chosen people and all of that which is needed to take us all the way to glory. He gave all of that into the hands of His darling Son, our blessed surety. Jesus Christ is the surety of His people. And God the Father trusted His Son with all of that which pertains unto life and godliness for all of us. Look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, not the preaching of lies, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So it's the Holy Spirit that brings us under the preaching of His gospel. It's the Holy Spirit that unstops the deaf ears, that opens the blind eyes, that gives us a new heart to embrace Jesus Christ, gives us faith to believe on Him according to the Scriptures. And after we believe, and folks, believing is no small thing. That's the work of God. And after we believe, We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God has promised us eternal life. And if we could ever lose that, it wouldn't be eternal life. But no child of God can lose their salvation. You can lose yours. I hear people say, well, you can lose your salvation. If it's yours, you can't. But you can't lose God's salvation. We're assured of these wonderful, blessed truths concerning our heavenly home as God Himself. This is sure and steadfast. These promises are from God. Like I said earlier, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Look at verse 14, talking about the sealing that we have through God, the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit that God sends into the hearts of His people, that's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. You know what that is? You're going to buy a home, and you like that home, and you don't want anybody buying it before you get it, you give the owner some earnest money. That's a promise to him that you're coming back with the rest of it. And so he holds that because you've made an earnest, sincere down payment on that home. Well, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. This is God's promise that there's something better yet to come for you, but this is the earnest of our inheritance. And we heard in Steve's devotional this morning that our inheritance is reserved in heaven. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. And God is the one who made those reservations. Every person who goes to heaven has a reserved position for him waiting for her, waiting for them when we get to glory. And God Himself is our inheritance. We have it all if we have Christ. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. Anything that's worth anything at all but contempt. If we gained the whole world and lost our soul, what would it profit us? So listen. Do I believe I was promised to Jesus Christ by God the Father before this world was created? The Word of God teaches that. Do I believe that Jesus Christ ransomed me with His own precious blood when He suffered and bled and died on that cruel cross 2,000 years ago? The Word of God tells us that we were. Do I believe what God has promised He is able also to perform? If you believe God, you do. Do I believe God? Is my faith based upon the strongest evidence that the sinner can possibly receive, and that's the Word of God? Do I believe Him? Do I believe God the Holy Spirit has revealed Jesus Christ and His gospel to me? Do I believe that? Brethren, God cannot lie. He cannot. And knowing this to be true, we can sing this closing hymn with true, genuine, heartfelt praise to the one who loved us and gave Himself for us, to the one who ransomed us with His own precious blood. We will give Him all the glory for Christ's sake, for He is worthy of all the praise and all the glory. And all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. They're not nay, nay, but they're yea and amen. Brother John, you come and lead us in our closing hymn, please.